I entitled my message this week, God Loves the Children. You say, preacher, we know that. God loves us, yeah. But do we love God? But God loves the children, and we are all children of the living God. Well, you heard me talk about this all month, because our lectionary readings have detailed Jesus' leadership lessons for his often hard-headed disciples. Why are we hard-headed? Well, we are also hard-headed disciples 2,000 years later, aren't we? Well, I think it's because they deeply entrenched into the laws and the tradition and the culture assumptions and more of their current society of the Jewish and Greek and Roman culture of the day. So it's significant to note that throughout these lessons, Jesus had a child on his lap or by his side. Now, in today's passage that I read, people most likely, especially women, obviously are hearing his defense of children and his countercultural views on valuing them as equal members of his followers, not to mention his defense of women and his pronouncement on divorce. As in that patriarchal society that only men had the power? Well, crowds of them began bringing their children to Jesus to be blessed. Now, in Jesus' view, this is a huge breach of decorum and began not only to protest but to speak sternly to them. The word in Greek, and I'm not going to try to pronounce those Greek words because it doesn't matter, but what they mean is to rebuke and reprimand or to reprove, to instruct with a harsh disciplinary tone. So in Jesus' response, he's indignant. He's angry. He's incensed. He just spent all afternoon trying to teach his disciples lessons about the treatment of others and their role as a kind of uplifting leader. And now this. Have they learned nothing? Jesus was wondering, and he becomes exasperated and frequently errant with his disciples. They continually act not out of their own learning, but out of their own embedded traditions. Their learned instincts, if you would, or their culture habits. Once again, Jesus corrects them, saying, let the children come to me, do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. We need to take that to heart, don't we? And then he takes them into his arms, and he lays hands on them, and he blesses them. And Jesus is a huge lover of children. I hope you see that and know that. Now, he is the most countercultural leader that they had ever experienced. Unlearning traditions and social mores that we have grown up with is hard and have been surrounded with their entire lives. Perhaps we believe it, maybe even out of our beliefs and assumptions that these things have formed for most of us and long ago by our parents. So the people who have raised us up, the people who have made an impact in our lives by our own experiences and from watching and learning from those who came before us, that's why history is so important, but I digress. Now, you've probably heard the expression that children learn more from what you do than what you say. I think this is true for you and for everybody. And it's the reason that Jesus needs to break some of the generational assumptions that are driving his current culture. Otherwise, they will continue to pass on their cultural assumptions to the next generation of children. And that is something that Jesus wants to, if you would, nip it in the bud. It's harder than it might seem, though. So as Jewish men, Jesus entered into their learning time with Jesus, bringing along with them the lesson they've learned from their fathers and their mothers and from the synagogue leaders or from their pious religious training from the priests and the Pharisees of the temple. and from their colleagues and families. Well, the Jewish community tended to be a tight-knit group, if you would, for one of the reasons for this is over time, due to their adherence to all the laws that they fiercely upheld in order to maintain their sense of coherence and identity and community and even faith. One of those lessons involved a hierarchical understanding of family and community. It was Jews versus Gentile, servant versus free, children and women versus men, you know, and on it went. So despite Jesus' attempt to give them example after example, as we have seen in the last few portions of the scripture story, they still don't get it. They continue acting out of their bias, as we might even put it today, rather than acting out of the new paradigm that he is trying to teach them. Now, they may learn and listen with interest to him, but their actions continually default to their own settings or what they learned, programmed into them from years. Well, finally, Jesus, he just loses patience with them. When his disciples began reprimanding the children for coming up to him to be blessed, he lashed out angrily at them. He pushed them aside and invites the children, "Hey, come on up here, guys." Well, this lesson was vitally important for us still today. This care, don't scare attitude is paramount, not only for children, but for their parents in today's culture that you and I live in. And yet, I'm betting that all of us have experienced the church setting at one time or another, which someone has given the slide eye at the minimum or represent more than one of the children who were behaving like children in the midst of the sanctuary or in the midst of worship. I wonder how many have experienced this in either the church that you attended or even in your past or even when you were young or even when you're present. Now, these responses are learned behaviors that come from the way people were raised to behave in the church, especially in some denominational Protestant churches, in which setting folding your hands immovable during worship was the sanctioned behavior of times past. Well, you wonder, where in the world does this come from? Well, I can't tell you, because it doesn't come from Jesus. As we study the scriptures, you know, quite the opposite. In fact, I'm absolutely positive that if Jesus was here today in the flesh, he would say the exact same thing in that circumstance that he said to his disciples 2,000 years earlier. Let the children come to me. Let them be. Do not reprimand them. Do not trip them up and cause them to lose their faith. No, do not infuse into them your biases or your rigidness or your human-made rules and your exclusive traditions. No, do not let these kinds of bad behavior by adults and leaders within the church go on for one more generation. I like this. Let the children be children. For these belong to the kingdom of God. In fact, let's take it even a step further. Unless each one of us adults start letting go of all our rigid rules and our false masks of self-righteousness, your reprimanding and judgmental tone and tongue, and your scare tactics towards these little innocent, faith-filled, authentic, and real, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that is heart-wrenching when you think about it. So, people, these are harsh words from Jesus, not from the old preacher Rabbi, and vitality is important for us to understand and accept even in today's world that we live in. Now, Jesus is not merely making a statement about children. He's making a statement about how we treat people in general. He's making a statement about what the kingdom of God needs to look like on this earth right now in our day and time, in our community, and even our little church known as Bethel. So, as we resist listening to Jesus' words in these important passages to our detriment, if you would, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I've seen this happen myself. And I think every pastor and every leader and every disciple of Jesus has an inherent and serious responsibility to defend the children, defend the women, those who are labeled different in any way, who live in our community or come into our church. We're called to cherish them. We're called to bless them, protect their faith, not only in Jesus, but in humankind. Yeah, Jesus had some harsh words. There's a whole series of stuff entitled in a book that a pastor friend put together called The Hard Sayings of Jesus. Yeah, sometimes his words are harsh. Now, we simply are not called just a compassion or a loving nature or a caring spirit, but we are called as modern-day disciples to take up the cross, to bear responsibility and accountability for our congregation, for our community members, our neighbors, defend the weak and our family, and protect the innocent and give voice to the voiceless. We are called to take a responsibility to accountability, to take discipleship serious. Yeah, discipleship's not easy, but we got to take it serious. To not only listen to these words that Jesus tells us and teaches us, but to take them to heart, to struggle with them, to allow Jesus to come into our heart and lives and change us, mold us and shape us, and make us into people who create new and alternative forms of community in which all people are valued. And all, you know what all is? All circumstances and all the places, yeah, even in the church. Now today, most of us know is World Communion Sunday. And this lesson is especially important. For every person must be invited to be blessed, loved, and celebrated. Especially those who are most vulnerable. For they need to believe that God is good. It's our job to show them that's true. And we think about this. Now, you know, people go, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. Well, let me tell you about the Bible. It's not a fairy tale. God is no myth. Hope resides in Jesus, and people can change. Here I am, Lord. Have a blessed day. And thank you for being with us on the online service. And pray that you participate on the online version of Holy Communion. You know, you can have a little place in your house or set up a little altar and have your own juice and wine. You don't need a preacher to serve it to you. You can just ask God to bless the elements and receive them in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. And that is the forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name and cleanses from all unrighteousness.